Well, we're back in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. We're up to part 8 this evening. The story of Ruth, part 8, godliness in the workplace. Godliness in the workplace. Let's pray, and then we'll read some of the scriptures. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word, for how true it is, absolutely and perfectly true. Thank you for the ministry of your Spirit. Speak to us tonight. Help us to understand your word and apply it to our hearts. Do the work that only you can do, a great, changing, challenging, blessing work tonight. Lord, we need you. I can do nothing. We need your Spirit. Help us to abide in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ruth chapter 2, and we're going to read the first 18 verses as we consider the godliness in the workplace. Ruth 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, unto whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Well, like I said, we're going to consider godliness in the workplace. We've visited the book of Ruth 7 times. We've considered God's providence and the will of God and different responses to the will of God. We've considered Boaz and comparing him positively to Christ and negatively to Samson. We've considered standing on the threshold of decision, coming into the promised land, and how the Lord rewards work and waiting. And we're going to look this evening at Boaz and Ruth in the workplace. We have them, Naomi and Ruth, returning from Moab to Bethlehem at the end of chapter 1. They come back to Bethlehem, the two of them, in the beginning of barley harvest, at the end of chapter 1 there. Then Ruth volunteers. She says, I will try and help provide for the two of us, Naomi. Let me go out and try and glean. And gleaning is a process of gathering the leftover bits of crops that the harvesters have left after they've gone through. And this is a biblical principle, as we'll see. Now, Ruth just happens to end up gleaning on Boaz's farm. And you can see clearly the hand of God, invisibly guiding her. And chapter 2 records how the relationship with Boaz and Ruth begins and transitions into potential marriage. But chapter 2 also records how Boaz and Ruth behaved whilst working on the farm. They're working here in this chapter. Amongst all of the other admirable qualities of these two godly people, Boaz and Ruth, we see that they exemplified godliness in their workplace, their vocation, their 9-to-5, although it's probably 6-to-6 or something. Early in Israel's history, God has recorded the lives of Boaz and Ruth as model children of God. Examples for us to follow, example for the children of God to follow. For many centuries of the Jewish nation, following this account, God's chosen people can reflect on Boaz and Ruth and emulate their godly character and choices. Think of the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. This year in One Way Club, we're looking at real heroes, godly heroes who followed the Lord. We're starting with Abraham in term 1. And these, Boaz and Ruth, are real heroes that we can follow. People who followed the Lord like Paul did. And we can follow their example because they followed the Lord. Well, we're going to approach this workplace scenario by categorizing ourselves as Christians in the workplace into the two roles of those with authority and those under authority. We break it up into those with authority and those under authority. Here we have Boaz and Ruth. Boaz has the authority. Ruth is under the authority. We have the owner of the farm compared with the harvester. We have in Scripture the master and the servant. More modern terminology might have the boss and the worker. We have employer and employee. And we even have in school settings teacher and pupil and many other similar relationships. Now this approach to the workplace resonates throughout Scripture. We have these main New Testament passages of Ephesians 6, 5 through 9, and Colossians 3, 22 to chapter 4, verse 1, talk about the master and the servant, broken up into these two categories, those with authority, those under authority. The Ephesians 6 passage reads, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And, ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." There are a couple of other minor passages, 1 Timothy 6, 1 and 2, Titus 2, 9 and 10, 1 Peter 2, 18, and James 5, 1 through 5. They also talk about the masters and the servants. So this is how the Lord wants us to think about our workplace, amongst other ways of approaching it. This is how God wants us to approach it. And most of us, we can fall quite easily into one of these two categories, those with authority or those under authority. Perhaps we fall in both. We could be in middle management, or something like that, where we have people above us and people below us in the authority structure. Even those who are self-employed can learn from the examples of Boaz and Ruth and their godliness. Brethren, God cares about our work life. God is concerned about godliness in the everyday. Our whole life is to be dedicated to the Lord. It's not that we try to be godly when we're with our family or church friends, but as soon as we get to go to work or someplace else, we can be ourselves or walk in the flesh. That is not a godly Christian life, where there is two hallowed's or two insert your name. All things in life are unto the Lord. And we have that workplace passage I mentioned in Colossians 3 saying, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." Brethren, when we have inconsistent behavior throughout the week, depending on what we're doing, where we are, who we are with, it shows a complete misunderstanding of the Christian life. This is the difference between reformed behavior and a new nature, or trying to be Christian and being born again from above. It's not so much I read the Bible as much as I can't wait to hear from my Heavenly Father, so I read my Bible. It's not so much I pray as I'm a child of God and I love to talk to my Father. So I pray about everything, all the time. It's not so much I go to church as I am a Christian and I am part of a spiritual family. I love seeing my spiritual siblings, so I'm off the church. It's not so much I go to work as my Heavenly Father has given me a job, which I'm glad to carry out at my workplace. Whether we are working in full-time ministry or working full-time digging holes, both are under the authority and blessing of God. Both are sacred. There is no secular work for the believer, even though you might be, in my case, estimating construction jobs. That is unto the Lord and sacred because our lives are dedicated to Him. In summary, Boaz is a godly employer, and we're going to bring this out. But to summarize before we really get into the nuts and bolts, Boaz is a godly employer as owner and CEO of the farm in Bethlehem. Ruth is a godly employee as a simple gleaner on Boaz's farm, an entry-level employee, perhaps. Boaz, he reflects the character of God, especially Christ as master, and Ruth reflects the character of God, especially Christ as servant. It's a wonderful picture. So we're going to begin. We're going to have two main points. First, Boaz, the godly employer. Second, Ruth, the godly employee. We begin with Boaz, the godly example of someone with authority in the workplace. And there's three things, probably more, but three things tonight we're going to consider. Boaz is devoted. Boaz is diligent. Boaz is decent. Devoted, diligent, and decent. Boaz's devotion is a process. He is first devoted to God. His whole life is devoted to God. He himself is devoted to God. Then his business is devoted to God. And then it's only logical that the wealth from his business is devoted to God. Boaz begins with his life devoted to God. And we can see this throughout the book. We can see it all throughout Boaz's life. We can see it because Boaz obeys the word of God, despite the wishy-washy state of the nation. We must remember this is the time of the judges, when Israel was back and forth between disobedience and obedience. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes, but Boaz did that which is right in God's eyes. He went over and above in his kindness to others, as we'll see. He honored the Lord in his words and actions. His honorable behavior when Ruth proposed marriage to him at nighttime shows his godliness and his devotion to God. We can see his devotion to God in his godly encouragement and benediction to Ruth that we read today in verse 12. We can see Boaz's devotion to God even in God's blessing on his life in his godly descendants, most especially King David and then King Jesus. Having devoted himself to God in every aspect, that includes his business, and so it's only a normal step for his business to be devoted to God. We read in verse 4 that Boaz came from Bethlehem. Sounds like he's on a journey from home to work, perhaps to inspect the farm. And he says unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." It comes across as a standard greeting, doesn't it? Some sort of a call and response, a good morning, a hello. Almost like a regular standardized procedure. The policies and procedures manual of Boaz's farm has greetings in the name of the Lord. Boaz seems to make the Lord part of the daily running of his business. And brethren, we must not be ashamed of naming the name of Christ in our workplace. Rather, it is highly commendable in the Lord's eyes to somehow lift him up in our workplace. And as boss, you have the authority to set the direction for your company. It's highly commendable to incorporate the Lord into the standardized procedure for your business. Maybe you could have a scripture verse in your email signature, or a godly quote on your business card, or print verses for the walls of the office. Just simple practical things. How can we honor the Lord in our workplace as bosses, as those with authority? You might not have the authority to do those things, but you might have authority to do other things to honor the Lord in your workplace. Boaz had the Lord at the center of his business because the Lord was at the center of his life. Matthew 5:14-16 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Is your business a bushel or a candlestick for the light of Christ? Is your business a bushel or a candlestick? In your industry, when they think of your business, do people think, wow, there's a light of something different in Christ? With his life being devoted to God and therefore his business, Boaz's wealth is logically, of course, devoted to God. We read in verses 15 and 16 that when Ruth was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." Boaz allows people to glean, which is kind. It's obedient to the Lord, but it's kind. And especially, he arranges for extra to be left for Ruth. Extra. That's coming out of the budget. Boaz did not say, hang on, there's no budget for sharing with the poor this month. It's really tight. The income from that produce in your hands, reapers, needs to go back into the business. This isn't a charity. Rather, a godly CFO says, all the wealth of this business the Lord has entrusted to me is on loan from him anyway. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And God's love to us is lavish and generous. So I can use some of God's money that we have in our account, amongst other things, to bless others. Selflessness. Boaz is kind. He is devoted to God, and his business and his wealth is devoted to God. Boaz is also diligent. Boaz is diligent. We read that he had his business in order, and this is something for everybody. All of us have our lives in order. We read in verse 4 that he spoke to his servant that was set over the reapers. Boaz had an authority structure in place. He was systematic and he was not ad hoc. He was careful to do the right thing, let all things be done decently and in order. A verse to the Corinthians, but for us, about the church, but also for our lives in general. Boaz, he was focused on his responsibilities. He was diligent in the things he was responsible for. When he came from Bethlehem, in verse 5, it says, Boaz said unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? See, Boaz noticed that something was different. He was diligent. He knew what was going on in his life and in his business. He was careful to be aware of what was going on. So he found out immediately when something was abnormal. Proverbs 27, verse 23 says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Boaz is blessed by God for his diligence. It says in verse 2 or in verse 1 that he was a mighty man of wealth. A mighty man of wealth. God blessed this godly man who honored the Lord first. Proverbs 12, verse 24 says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. And Proverbs 22, verse 29 says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? A bit like Boaz. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. The Lord honored Boaz's diligence. And the Lord will honor our diligence too in our workplace. Boaz is not only devoted and diligent, but he is decent. Boaz is decent. Decent in the sense of kind, loving, generous, compassionate. Boaz is aware of people. He's people-focused. When arriving from Bethlehem, the words of Boaz were not, what's the monthly profit? Have we had any loss of crops this week? Any storms? Or who's been off sick this week? Are we making money? Now, he was diligent in his work, but he's aware of people too. He wasn't so distracted with his own life that he forgot about others. He wasn't too important for the lowest person in his company. Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Boaz was concerned with the people around him. He asked about Ruth, the new person. He could see there was someone new. Who's this? So he could find out what was going on. He was diligent. So even though he was caring for the physical deliverables of his company, collecting enough barley, pay the bills, he was still mindful of people. Often in professional training, we can talk about task-oriented or people-oriented. But these are not mutually exclusive. Boaz is proof of that. You can fulfill your tasks and be a blessing to people as well. Well, Boaz is people-focused, but he also takes care of his subordinates. He's humble to condescend to men of low estate, and Ruth was surely someone of low estate in Jewish society there. A foreigner, a widow, gleaning. He takes care of those under him. He allows them to glean, as we've mentioned. He allows this to happen on his farmland because he knows the word of God and he obeys God's commands. Leviticus 19, verse 9 says, and when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. This is the verse that Boaz knew and obeyed. It was required under God's law to allow those poor and the strangers or the foreigners to glean. But he could have gotten away with disobeying it. Because, like I said, remember, Judges was a time of spiritual up and down. He could have gotten away with it, but only in the eyes of men, not in the eyes of God. Boaz was careful to take care of those under him. Boaz was generous to the needy, generous to the needy. Remember, we read that he asked his men to leave extra on the ground for Ruth, to leave extra. He was generous and kind. Here, Boaz understands and emulates the heart of God, caring for widows and strangers. And Ruth fell into both of those categories, both a widow and a stranger. Deuteronomy 10, verse 18 says that the Lord doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. And Psalm 146, verse 9, though written, of course, after Boaz, the Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Boaz's heart, as a boss, as a master, reflected the heart of the master in heaven. Boaz was selfless. He's using his company resources for unapproved philanthropy, just random acts of kindness for the sake of it, because the heart of God is kind. I read a quote, but I can't recall where from. When money increases, don't increase your standard of living, increase your standard of giving. What a challenge. Godly bosses use their profit, amongst many other purposes, legitimate purposes, godly bosses use their profit to bless others. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Boaz is devoted, he's diligent, and he's decent. And Boaz, as the master of the field, is a disciple of the Lord. So it's no surprise to see that Christ is the greatest example of a master. John 13, verse 13, the Lord says, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. I mean, we know he's perfect. He's the perfect example of a master. He left us the highest standard. He left us the highest standard of devotion to God. Boaz was devoted. Christ was devoted. In John 12, verse 28, Christ says, Father, glorify thy name. It's devotion to God. And in Matthew 6, verse 10, as we heard this morning, he encouraged his disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Boaz was diligent, and Christ was diligent, as seen in his orderly obedience to the Father. John 12, verse 49, Christ says, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. There is orderliness in the example of the Lord, a perfect example of diligence. Boaz was decent and kind, Christ was decent and compassionate, as seen in his love for all around him and accomplishing the work of the gospel on Calvary. Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, referring to Christ, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Christ, the perfect boss, the perfect master, who is diligent, devoted, diligent, and decent. Well, we see now Ruth, the second person in our story, the godly employee, someone under authority, living a godly life. Ruth is lowly. Ruth labors, and Ruth is loving. Ruth is lowly. She's humble. She understands her place before God and in the situation, in the context where she was. As a stranger, especially. In verse 10, we read that she fell on her face before Boaz. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Great humility. Great humility. And God rewards, and I think often you'll see even ungodly or unsaved CEOs rewarding humility. But the Lord surely sees humility and rewards it. She keeps in mind her position within the circumstances. She knew the principle behind Matthew 10, 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. No task was below her. There was no evidence of ego trips happening here. She wasn't too good for this job. She's grateful in her lowliness. Ruth is grateful. She says in verse 13 to Boaz, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Ruth acknowledges that Boaz has been friendly to her and comforted her. Kindness has been shown to her, and her tone is one of gratitude, surely. There's no mention here of her rights or that she deserves better than this. Surely this is way lower than award pay. There's none of that. There's gratitude. Ruth is humble and grateful, and she's submissive, and she recognizes the authority structures in place, that there are those over her. And we can only do this as we recognize that God is over us, we are under the Lord, and the Lord has commanded us to submit to those over us. Rebellion against any kind of authority is rebellion against God, because God says, submit to your authorities. Ruth recognized the authority. In verse 7, she came to the servant set over the reapers and asked, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. She asked this head servant for permission, rather than just assuming it was okay, even though, perhaps, she was within her rights, because it was technically legal for her to come and do that. Ruth is lowly, humble, aware of her position before God. But Ruth also labors. Ruth labors. She welcomes hard work. We read that she volunteered, let me know now, go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. She was willing to work hard. She didn't say, well, collecting leftover crops sounds really hard. Isn't there something easier, perhaps? Is there a Bethlehem Woolies I can stack the shelves at? Or is there something else? Or maybe Naomi, you could do it because you know Bethlehem better. No, she volunteered. Laziness will always find a reason why the work shouldn't be done, or at least not by me, or at least not now. Proverbs 20 verse 4 says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. See, lazy people will say, the weather's too bad to be working, or the weather's too good to be working. One or the other. It's too cold, it's too hot. I'm too tired, I've got too much energy. Proverbs 22 verse 13 says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. I can't go and work, I'm going to die. It's way too dramatic. Just get out in the field and serve God. Laziness will always lead to poverty and waste. Listen to this admonition in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. But, brethren, when our lives are wholly dedicated to Christ, we find it only natural and even joyful to work and work hard for Christ's sake. We mentioned Colossians 3, servants and masters, verses 22 to 24. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Your boss might be Joe Bloggs of ABC Building. But you serve the Lord Christ. You serve the Lord Christ. Ruth welcomes hard work. She's not afraid of it. But she has stamina as well. She continues. She's consistent in her hard work. And she works hard for a good season. We read that she began in the morning and she continued until the evening. But then we also read that they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest, chapter 1, verse 22. Now that is mid-April. She begins work in mid-April. And then in verse 23 of chapter 2, she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now this is about mid-June, mid-April to mid-June. It's 2 months of hard yakka outside working in the field. Manual labor, there's no air conditioning, no fans to cool off with, no headphones to listen to scripture with or music while you're working. It's hard work. But under the Lord, hard work is joyful. This is a challenge for me as well, to consider the example of Ruth. Ruth labors. Ruth is lowly, she labors, but Ruth is also loving. Ruth, she volunteers for the work. She didn't wait for Naomi, being the local, to volunteer. Perhaps Naomi was old now. Ruth takes the initiative. She volunteers in love. She's not waiting to be asked to do the right thing. Believers do the right thing before being asked. They recognize that God's word has already asked them to do the right thing, even commanded them. Ruth is loving in her volunteering, but loving also in that she shares her own. We read in verse 18 that Ruth brought home what she had gleaned, and she also gave to Naomi that she had reserved after she was sufficed. This is some of her lunch. She brought some of her lunch home for Naomi. Have we ever done that? You might decide to bring it home at lunchtime, but it doesn't make it all the way home. But there's great love to be consistent, to share with those at home. Ruth works hard, but then doesn't save it all for herself. She's careful to love others. Well, Ruth, a simple worker in the field, a normal worker, an employee, is a disciple of the Lord, just like Boaz was. So it's no surprise that Christ was the greatest example of a servant. Christ, the greatest example of a master, yes, but also of a servant. Matthew 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Incredible. The master becomes the servant. He's an example of a worker, an employee, a servant. Jesus Christ left us this higher standard. Ruth was lowly, and so was Christ. Christ was humble to become a servant, though he deserved better. And humility is being willing to give up that which you rightly deserve. That which is yours, but you give up for love. John 13, verse 14, Christ says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Ruth labored, and Christ labored too, as seen in him praying all night before selecting his apostles. Luke 6, 12 and 13. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. The labor of Christ, the servant. Ruth was loving, and so was Christ, as seen in his death on Calvary. Galatians 2, 20 talks about the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And perhaps all of these three things here, Christ's humble labor of love, is pictured in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Brethren, what part of our life, especially our working life, needs to be rededicated to the Lord and purified from sinfulness? As bosses or managers or teachers or those in authority, are we holding our position of authority with godliness like Boaz did? Are we devoted to God, diligent in our work, and decent in our love to others? As employees or workers or pupils or those under authority, are we holding our position under authority with godliness like Ruth did? Lowly and humble, laboring and working hard willingly, joyfully, and loving others with the blessings. Let's follow the example of our Savior, the beautiful servant King. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the example that Christ our Savior set as both master and servant. And thank you for the examples of Boaz and Ruth. Help us in every part of our life to walk close with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.